great to be gathered once again in one spirit and in truth. Amen. One mind and one accord. Let's all stand as we go before Him in prayer this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we have gathered here this morning, Lord, and in our homes in one spirit, Lord. Lord, to hear the truth You have for us this morning. Lord, we just love and appreciate You, Lord, and we feel Your Holy Spirit walking with us each and every day. Lord, knowing we don't have nothing to worry about, Lord, it's all in Your hands. Lord, this is the time, Lord, that Christians know, Lord, that if they're really Christians or not. Lord, because they can feel You walking with them and leading and guiding. Lord, it's such a privilege, Lord, to be Your child. Lord, we just love You and appreciate You, Lord, this morning. Lord, we ask You to be at the service. Lord, be at these songs, these few songs we have this morning. And Lord, the bringing of Your word. Lord, we ask You to have Your way in everything that's said and done now. We'll give You all the praise and glory that's due unto You. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. It's worth it all to be His child, isn't it? Amen. I'd like to turn to page 354 in our Only Believe. 354. I have a source of strength when I am weak, that takes me through when life is pressing me. Sickness and my pain. God's name. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, for your precious blood, Lord, you have shed on Calvary for me. Lord, we just love and appreciate you, Lord. Oh, so unworthy, but so thankful. Lord, that you could receive, Lord, grace. Lord, we could receive mercy from you, Lord. We appreciate it. Lord, may we never forget what you've done for us. Hallelujah. Amen. He's so precious. His precious Holy Spirit is here with us. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we appreciate you so much. Amen. Ain't you thankful you can feel him in your heart? Amen. Hallelujah. Wherever you may go, he's right there with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 596 now. The same book. The Only Believe book. Hallelujah. At night I lay in bed, and I began to cry, and my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen. The Spirit's groaning deep within. It must be God here in my soul, because I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear. so thankful to fill that pool. Never take it for granted. When you fill that pool, run to the altar. Run to the prayer closet. Say, Lord, I need thee. Lord, come and live in my heart. Lord, that's the only way I'm going to make it. Amen. As you come, lead and guide me. Every day I get out of bed, Lord, I want to be in your will. I want to do what you want me to do. I want you to lead the way you want me to be led. I want him to have full control of my life. Hallelujah. If you got that desire, you are a blessed person. Amen. A blessed person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'd like to turn to page 612 now in the same book, every one page. Love this little course. Amen. It speaks from the volume of your heart. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. For you after thee, oh God. Hallelujah. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield.
Amen.
You alone are my heart's desire.
Hallelujah.
And I long to worship thee. Grace.
Amen.
You are my friend.
Hallelujah.
And you are my brother. Even though you are my king, I want you more than any other, Lord. So much more than anything. Hallelujah. What a desire. Hallelujah. I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy.
Yes.
You alone are the real joy giver. And Lord, you are the apple of my eye. Hallelujah. Lord, we appreciate your grace and your mercy. Lord, there's nothing we can do to deserve what you have given us, Lord. We appreciate you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, for you are my strength, my shield. And you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Amen.
I feel him on the inside. I'm so thankful. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Tim to come and say the prayer request. All the unspoken prayer requests out there this morning, our hearts is with you. Amen. And may God bless you. Amen.
We just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. Lord, to know you in the power of your resurrection. And Lord, to be able to stand here today and wherever we may be. Lord, I stand here in a church building, Lord, and others may be gathered in their living room or wherever. But Lord, you're not confined to walls, Lord, and you're not confined to certain areas. But Lord, you are the great I am. And you know where each and every one of us stand this morning. You know the desire of our hearts, Lord. You know the needs that we have, Lord, that no one else may ever know. Lord, you know the thoughts that race through our minds at night as we lay up on our beds, Lord, and maybe the uncertainty that we struggle with. But Lord, you are the true peace giver. You are our all in all, Lord. And Lord, we humbly come before you today, Lord, and ask you to meet each and every need that may be upon our people's hearts.
Yes.
The Lord, and may they be able to see that it was answered by you, Lord, and that it was your hand that moved. And Lord, may we never fail, any of us, Lord, that you move in our hearts or our lives, that we never fail to see, Lord, that you receive all the glory.
Yes.
And Lord, as we've gathered here today to hear our pastor speak, Lord, as he brings the word, Lord, it's your word. And it's not what a man has to say. But Lord, may your word find good ground in our hearts. And Lord, may we be able to say amen to you.
Amen.
And Lord, may we be able to take the word, Lord, and apply it to our lives and let it do the work that's needed. For Lord, you alone can do what you know. And only you can do those things. And we ask your blessings upon the remainder of this service. In the precious name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen.
This time we're going to ask Sister Grace. She's got a special to come up and sing for us. Saints, remember, you can sit right there in your chair, right there on the couch, and God can heal you. Amen. You remember that as she sings this little chorus. Amen.
That my God can't do.
is nothing, no, nothing that my God can do. He named every star, then he hung them on high. The moon spread its light across God's big sky, and that same mighty God can take a heart of stone, wash it, cleanse it, and make it his own. There's no nothing that my God can't do. Miracles and wonders, there is nothing, no, nothing that my God can't do. There's nothing, no, nothing. There is nothing that my God can't do. Miracles and wonders, there is nothing, no, nothing that my God can't do. Miracles and wonders, there is nothing, no, nothing. There is nothing, no, nothing that my God can't do.
Amen. Amen. I stand up here this morning because there is nothing my God can't do. He changed my life around. He can change yours. Amen. He made all the heavens and the moon and the stars. There's nothing he can't do. Nothing's impossible for our God. I have full confidence in knowing he will take care, lead, and guide by his Holy Spirit. And that's what I want in my life. Amen. Amen. As the soul stands, we ask our pastor to come. We'll sing that little chorus, Only Believe. Amen.
Only believe. Just bow our head for a moment of prayer again. Precious Heavenly Father, again we realize that through your mercy and grace that we gather here and those that gather around, Lord, to listen to these precious words. For again, Lord, it's not my word, but it's yours. And we know that you said your word is inspired. So, Lord, it's not as if we were to read out of some covenant newspaper or magazine. But Father, something about the Holy Spirit follows your word. And we're so greatly appreciative of that. And as we are here today, we ask, Lord, that you'll help us to say something that would help each and every one, Lord, in their walk with you, that they'll have a greater and a surrendered walk to you and with you. And Father, we appreciate you now and love you with all our heart. And we realize in ourselves we can't bring anything. So we put our trust in you today now. Just wait on you to speak to our hearts. In your glorious, precious name we ask. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to be gathered again in the house of the Lord, and those that's gathered with us in your room, wherever you may be, and trust we'll be able to say something today that'll help each and every one. But I'd like to, if you would like to turn your Bible with me to 1 Peter and the 4th chapter. I'd like to read a few verses, and I'm actually going to read a few scriptures to kind of just set something in order. And so just follow along with me. Again, this is 1 Peter in the 4th chapter, and we'll read the 17th and down to the 19th verse. And again, I trust that each and every one of you that's not here with us has got your children gathered around with you, and you're ready to listen to the word, not watch me. I have nothing to do with it. It's God's precious word. That's what we're interested in. All right, so we find here 17th verse, "For the time is come. The judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous," now think of that, "the righteous, scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls," which we'll talk a little bit later about, "keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Amen. May the Lord bless reading his word. You may be seated. Those who's with me here today. We find in this little message this morning, I'm going to say a lot of things, so I'm trusting that you'll bear with me, and I trust that you're hungry for the word and not just interested to see what's going on or see what we're going to say today as far as, you know, me personally. I'm not interested in none of that. I'm interested in helping each and every one of you. And we realize that every true ministry of God, or I should say maybe servant of God, is completely interested and has a very deep concern in his heart for his sheep. And it's not his sheep personally, no, by no means. It's God's sheep. But he feels a great responsibility to help them and encourage them, or to bring them in the fold and to bring them to the place that Christ can have the preeminence in their life, and so that the people can know that they have salvation. They know that they have eternal life. And we realize sometimes the things the Word says is quite cutting and sometimes hurts it a little bit. But, you know, it's like a little saying that's been around for a long time. The truth always hurts, you know. And that's oftentimes the way it is with the Word, you know, because it cuts sin out of our life. It cuts the foolishness out of our life, things that shouldn't be in our life. And as I said, you know, what I was thinking about to kind of get a little ahead of myself, but I was thinking about and very concerned and thinking about, you know, we all only live a certain amount of time. I mean, there's just no way around it. And if we don't go in the rapture, which is going to soon be, we will go the way of the grave if we are meant to be in the rapture, or if we're not meant to go through tribulation and so forth, and if our number is called, if you want to say it that way, our life will end on this earth, and we'll have to stand before God on the day of judgment and give an account of our life. But I was thinking about how that I've seen over the years, how I've seen men just give all these, all they've got, you know, their ministers and servants, and they give it all they've got to feed their sheep and, you know, study and pray many hours and ask God for guidance and just really giving their heart and pouring their heart out to it. And then their day comes that they pass away. You know, it's life on earth is ended for them. And you think, and the particular thing I'm thinking about, I see this happen and seen it happen more than once, where men has done this, and the ministry has stood there behind the pulpit and give their life to the very purpose of feeding God's sheep. And then only to see after they pass away, to see so many sheep that scripturally, according to God's holy word, still are not born again. Do not have the Holy Spirit. And they may have sit there under that ministry that was up there on that pulpit and sitting there saying amen to it and joyously listening to it. And still, after all it's done, the minister is called off the scene. His life on earth is ended. And only to come to realization that very few, or maybe even none, of the sheep really was born again. And that's a very sad situation, you know. It's so sad to see how things work like that sometimes. But yet, you know, maybe while the minister was standing there and doing his preaching and so forth, it looked to appear that the people were so excited and so happy. And just, you know, couldn't wait to be there and listen to the word and just so excited at many times. And yet, after he's gone, some of the sheep even scatter and go astray. Some of them continue to go on and sit there and to listen to the next man that comes along. You know? And still, not born again. Seems like maybe a strange story to talk about. But I just want you to listen today. And as I said, I'm going to read some scriptures first to kind of just get our hearts in tune for something. And I don't care how seasoned we are in the Word or how unseasoned in the Word or how young, how old, how whatever our standing is with the Lord. I just want you to listen to these things, okay? And the scripture I want to read next is Proverbs 3. And begin the first verse. Solomon bringing forth, we know Solomon had a lot of wisdom, God-given wisdom. And he says here, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Notice what he brought in there, keep my commandments. And of course, it goes all through the scripture, even down in the New Testament. Jesus said himself, "He that loveth me will keep my commandments." You see? All right, keep his word. "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." Now think of that. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. "Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding." Hear that? "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." So we find it's, and especially in the time we're living in, it's so easy for people to lean upon their own understanding. And as the prophet spoke about it before, you know, we live in such a educated day, and, you know, people are definitely more educated. They're smart, very intellectual. As far as intellectual people, there is more intellectual people living now than ever has been through the history of time. So we find People are very intellectual. They're very thinkative. They have been trained. There's never been a day and a time, as so many people has gone to college, that there is in this day and age. Just constantly learning and learning. And doing and during that process, oftentimes it causes people to begin to lean upon their own understanding instead of trusting in God and asking God for a true understanding. And oftentimes through life we can take and lean upon our own understanding and miss the mind of God, what God wants in our life. You know, because we certainly may think of something, well, I am this, or if I do it this way, this is how this will work out, or if I do it this way, this is how that will work out. And we think and process all these thoughts, and we think, surely we know what we're talking about. You know, surely I know the way. There's only one that knows the way, and that's Jesus Christ. And he is the one that will give you the right way. And there's no man that can stand behind a pulpit and give you the right way. No. The only thing a man can do is give you the word, which is the right way. If he doesn't give you the truth or the right way or the word, which is the right way, then don't pay no attention to it. But we want to pay attention to it if it's God's word. You know, heavens and earth shall pass away. But he said, my word shall never pass away. So, and again, as we said in our prayers, see, the word of God is inspired. Oh, it's so inspired, you see. It's so truth and so real. Brother Josh, if you don't mind, would you get me a cup of water, please? My throat's getting dry again. So we find here, if you want to turn with me, the book of James and the fourth chapter. Let's read something here. As I said, I'm just placing some word in your heart and placing it before your thoughts to think about here for a moment. James 4th chapter and the 13th verse. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Thank you, brother. Now think of it, what he's saying here. Pay attention. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Okay, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't care how smart or how much we can lean on our understanding. We do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now we may have in our mind, well, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to go to work. We might get up in the morning and I think I'm going to get up in the morning, well, I'm going to work in the garden. But see, that is such a misunderstanding. Because the real understanding is, you don't know if you'll be living tomorrow. You don't know if something drastic's going to happen. You don't know if your heart's going to quit pumping. And we may sit there and think right now and think, I'm a healthy person, you know. Well, look at these people, this getting this virus and stuff. They probably 2 weeks before they had it, they thought, my, they had the world, you know, and they was going to do this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, now the world crumbled. And now many of them's passing away, you see. It's just like this past Friday, you know, person driving down the highway. I'm sure they thought everything was going fine. Within minutes, they was off the road, car rolled, and they was dead. Now, what was his plans for tomorrow going to be to him? He didn't know what his plans was tomorrow. He might have been thinking in his mind he knew what it was. And like I say, with our intellectual learning we've got today, and as smart as we are, it's so easy for us to think, I know exactly what I'm going to do tomorrow. You don't have a lick of knowing what you're going to do tomorrow. No. It may be a little hard to grasp and accept, but you don't have a clue what you're going to do tomorrow. Okay? Because again, this may be the last day you'll have breath going in your lungs. Okay? Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Now think about it. Just what is your life? It is even as a vapor. I'm sure we all have talked about it before. I'm sure we all know what a vapor looks like. Yeah, maybe it's got a little vapor machine, you know, and the vapor's coming out of it. You see it come out, the mist come out, and it's gone, you know, in just no time. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time Say, brother, I'm going to live to be 90 years old, but that's such a little time. Even if you do make it to 90 years old, that's such a little time. For what is your life is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanished away. Think of that. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You know, and I want you to just take a little thought. And we know today, if you've been around much, there's a lot of cemeteries. A lot of them. You know, and in them cemeteries is laying flesh, remains of flesh. Some of them, no doubt, is probably rotten completely away. There may be some that's still, bones are still there with skin stretched over it. Maybe some clothing stretched over the rib cage and so forth. But just think how many in that cemetery, back when they were living, they had a great ambition for life. They just couldn't wait to do maybe certain things they did. I know young men that's lived maybe 15, 16 years old and loved to ride motorcycles, and they got killed. And they're laying out there in cemeteries now. The body is. And, you know, there's people, no doubt, that probably just couldn't get along with their wife, and he was such a nasty, mean person. Maybe treated these children just as mean as could be. And look what, maybe all that attitude he had then, now look where it ended up being. It was dust. Going back to dust. No doubt there was probably rich people that lived. My, they thought there was everything. And everybody had to do what they said, and everything had to be conformed about what they wanted in life. You know? Just look at the attitudes of all those dead people had. Yeah. And the bad and the sad thing about it is, now of course we know also there was good Christians that lived, gave their whole heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And their flesh is laying out there in that grave. But one day, they'll raise again. Oh, yeah. When that rapture takes place. And we'll meet together with them. Those that's going in the rapture in this day that gives their heart to the Lord today in this hour. That's alive and remains. We will not hinder those that shall raise from the grave. That was given their life to Christ and Christ lived through them. But again, there's just all kinds of situations that people, just as real as you are, and just all of a sudden one day, life stopped for them. Where was their soul? Yeah. Soul? What's that? What's a soul? We'll talk about it a little bit later. But again, and I'm trusting, as I said a little bit ago, I'm hoping all that's listening, it's even your children sitting around listening, okay? I'm trusting they are. Surely you've been a good enough parent that you'd have them sit around and listen to the word too, you know? But anyhow, we find here that James has shown us here that, you know, you can't predict what you're going to do tomorrow. No. So I've got to make sure that whatever I do today has got to be right. I've got to make sure today I have what God requires, because tomorrow I may not have the opportunity. So this is a very serious thing. You mean our life is but a vapor? That's what he said. And how true it is. And like I say, when you see the real outcome of things and life in general, and you know, and especially if you've been to a lot of funerals and things, you think, wow, it ended so quick, you know. So simple. And, you know, you might have been laughing with the person one day and having a good time, having a good conversation, and the next day, they're gone. Yeah. What will our lives be projecting now if this is the last day we live? That's what I'm concerned about. Because we always, it's just human nature to think, well, tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to do better. But it's so sad to see it never happens. When you see something happen is when the individual says, it's got to happen now. This is when things have got to change now. It always seems like when somebody says about tomorrow or later, and I'll give my life to the Lord, or I'm going to think about it, and this and that. And we're going to see some things here in a little script in a bit. I'm going to think about this, or I got something I want to do first. And it's just strange. It don't seem to ever happen. Never. No. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for it. You say, well, you mean something's got to change now if my life needs change? You might be a young person sitting beside your parents right now, and you're listening to what I'm saying. Yeah, today, now, not tomorrow. And I don't know, you may sit there and think, well, I'm going to tell you what, I'm 15 years old, or I'm 14 years old, and I'm strong, I'm healthy, and this, that, and other. Have you really just stopped? Well, you're probably not old enough to realize. But if you're old enough to realize and old enough in life to see a lot of things happen, you see how many young kids has been killed, died, leukemia, all kinds of things. Yeah. And it was just like you. They thought, I got tomorrow, I'm going to do this. In 6 months, I'm getting my driver's license. Yeah. And old folks do the same thing. Oh, in 6 months, I'm doing this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I want this new home, and I want this, that, and the other, and all these things, you know. And you may never see it. No. We've got so many ambitions, and sometimes wrong ambitions, wrong desires for why we have been sent here on this earth. I know it's maybe confusing looking to see, oh, we was born from mama's womb, you know, and we come to this world, and we had to go to school, and we had to learn this, and we'd done this and done that and the other, and we think, oh, that's life. No, that's not really life. That's all temporal, and it's all going to pass away. But what I do now can determine where I'm going to spend eternity at, you see. Right now, not tomorrow. Tomorrow, I warn you, is too late. Okay? All right. You know, it's like a good while back, you know, we clear back in, I think it was October, September. And many of us could feel it's just something in size that we're going to have some rough times. It's going to get bad. And look what's happening. Yeah. The Holy Spirit warning us, you see. And it's going to get worse. And I'm going to tell you what, the mark of the beast is traveling right down the road to move things in. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. It's moving. It's trying to hide itself right now, but it's moving. You better make sure you know exactly where you stand. Exactly. It's not a maybe. It's not a hope. You've got to know. You see. All right, so we find Hebrews 4 chapter. We'll read this 12th verse. Again, I'm still reading some scriptures. For the word of God is quick. I want you to notice that. The word of God is quick and powerful. Yes, it's powerful. Maybe some of you sitting here today or sitting out there today, some of the things you're hearing so far, it just seems to be pricking your heart and it seems has something powerful about it. It's not like sitting there going to some Tupperware party and listening to some woman talk about Tupperware. But there's something that's powerful about it, you see. And sharper. Now, when something's sharp, it cuts. Okay? And sharper than any. There might be some sharp swords out there, friend. But the word of God is more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul, of soul and spirit. Yeah. And of the joints and the marrow. We all know where the marrow is at in the bone. So we know it cuts really deep. I mean, it'll go in from the outside, clear in, and not miss nothing. It gets it all. Yeah. piercing even as dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's just talk about that a little bit. It's a discerner. It knows the very intent of why you're going to do something. Why you're intending to do it, and the very thoughts that gathered around to make this decision come forth of what it may be in life. So it's very powerful. And like I say, it discerns the thoughts. There's the very intents of the heart. In other words, the desire of the soul. Okay? And I was thinking about that, and I thought, how, you know, you got Christianity. There's a lot of Christians that claim to be in this world. You know, and if they'd really just stop and think of what a Christian is to be Christ-like, to be like Jesus Christ. Now, when you think of the reality of that and the true meaning of a Christian, how many real Christians is there on this earth? There ain't very many. There's a lot of professing to be Christians, hoping they're Christians, believing they're Christians. But again, we're living in a time and an hour, we've got to know whether we are or not. Amen. And there's got to be a life produced or manifested through these tabernacles of flesh that proves we are real Christians. And I got to thinking, you know, with all the professing of being Christians and all the Christianity there is and so forth, of still of all the things, many things people do wrong every day, constantly. And it may be things that they just don't seem to think about. And we know, you know, of course, it's easy to know and to think, oh, smoking is wrong. Yeah, we shouldn't smoke. We know we shouldn't drink. No. We know we shouldn't go out and do all these worldly, sinful things people are doing. We know that. We know we shouldn't lie. We know we shouldn't cheat. You see, we know all these things. We know it's wrong. But sometimes by leaning upon our own understanding, we miss the reality of what a real Christian really is. You know, there's a lot of professing to be Christians that misses a lot of different things in life. And they don't even realize they're wrong. But yet they claim to be a Christian. Can I give you a little example of some things here? You know, we can take, well, we'll say, okay, I'm going to use myself so you can't get mad at anybody. So we find that maybe I'll go around all talking about maybe my lawnmower quit working. You know? And I go around and, you know, brother so-and-so comes by and maybe this brother comes by, you know, and we get to talking about just things in general. And I might say, My lawnmower quit running. Boy, I wish I could afford a new lawnmower. I'll get by somehow. I'll find one somewhere. Maybe I can get a used one somewhere. But the thing of it is, now we got to remember, I read it last week. Actually, I'm going to read it again, Revelation 2. And all churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works, which is deeds. Your actions. So I go around and I tell somebody that. And the Lord knows that maybe I've got $5,000 sitting in under the rug or under the mattress or in the bank. Yeah. But yet I would have the nerve to say that. I wish I could afford a new lawnmower. Say if it's $5,000 versus a $199 Pushmar. I just think of this. So I would go around and say something like that. And then there's a faithful brother in the church. I know how he loves me, and he's really serving the Lord. And he won't shut up his bowels of compassion. It's open. And he thinks more of the things of others than things of himself. You know, he's just a real Christian and solid in God, you know. And And he hears me saying that. You know, so he goes home and he's got two or three children, you know, and he goes and mentions his wife, said, I'm going to buy Brother Steve a new lawnmower because he needs one. And it sounds like maybe he ain't got enough money to get one. And the wife may say, well, honey, don't forget now, in probably just a few weeks, the children's going to be needing new shoes. And this brother's only maybe got $380 in his whole belongings, payday to payday, paycheck to paycheck. And he'll say, honey, it's okay. I know God will provide for us. We'll be able to still get them shoes. We'll be all right. So he goes out there and spends $190, maybe $200-some of that $300-some he's got, buys that new lawnmower, and gives it to that brother. Gives it to me. What do you think God thinks of that? But it's things people don't think about that's wrong, that's going to stand before them on the day of judgment. And guess what? The only way that really a person can cipher those things and really walk in truth and righteousness is with a true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I may be in that one needing that lawnmower, you know, I might think, praise God, I'm right, and I'm nothing wrong with what I said. And that poor old brother is struggling. He gives me that new lawnmower. Thank you, brother, I appreciate that. How could a man that had the Holy Ghost ever do that? A man with the Holy Ghost couldn't ever do that. No. You see, because every action, every thought, everything about us has to be Christ-like. You see? But the day and age we're living in, that's the kind of things, that was just one little example. But that's the kind of things people are missing and yet call themselves Christians. And it definitely is not a Christian. That is a make-believer. And I know that, oh, it's hard and that hurts. And yeah, but brother, now seriously, do you think that's wrong? Absolutely, I know it's wrong. You, by your speech, acted out a lie. You got all that money laying there, could easily buy yourself a lawnmower, but you want somebody to pity you and feel sorry for you, make them think you ain't got no money. You're a liar. And the truth ain't in you. The Word says. Like I say, those things, as I said, they may seem like something simple. But friends, if you could get up into that sphere and walk in the Spirit, you will see those little things that people are count as they're not wrong and nothing wrong with it at all. You're going to see how deep in sin they are. Yeah. And then you end up with all these people when the minister passes away. They were so excited about hearing the Word and so, oh, they loved the Word and, my, they loved their pastor and they was faithful coming to church and paying their tithes and offerings. They'll be lost on that day. They have nothing. That is what's on the heart of a true servant of God. Yeah. That's what they pray about, cry out to God about. What can I do, Lord, to get people to see? What can I do? You know? Knowing now it's really getting close to the appearing of the Lord. Really getting close. This whole world's forming right up to it, friends. Yes, it is. It's getting ready. But of course, as always, people think, it's not time yet. I've got a long time. Well, we'll see if we do. Now listen to these next few things I read. Again, it may seem kind of jumbled up, but I'm hoping through what may seem jumbled up, the Holy Spirit will put it in your heart, something, one little nugget here or there, and make you think. Make you to where, if maybe you aren't right with God, that you won't be able to sleep tonight. Brother Steve, you hope I can't sleep tonight? If you ain't right with God, I hope you can't sleep another wink. I hope you wrestle and cry and scream out to God like you never have in your life. I hope you never sleep. I hope you can't eat. You serious? Absolutely, I'm serious. That's how serious it is. That's how serious it is. Matthew 13, we're going to read here 44th verse. Just read a couple things here. Very familiar things that have been read before. I'm sure you've probably, if you've sat down and read the Bible, you've read it before. But just in light of what I've said so far and what I want to bring, just pay attention. Matthew 13, begin 44th verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, then which when a man hath found, oh, there's this treasure out in this field, and this man happens to find it. Now he hides it. He don't tell nobody about it because he's got something in mind. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath. He don't tell nobody about it until he gets everything sold so he can go buy this field because he knows what's in it. Yeah. For joy thereof, now notice what it says here. Joy. Not grieving. Not sorry that you had to get rid of this and lay that aside and forget all about this, that, and the other. But with joy. Thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Now think of that. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Oh. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now you'll notice what Jesus is saying here. With the treasures or the thing of value, which is Him, the Word, eternal life, He's trying to show us you'll get rid of everything and anything you have to if it stands between you and God. It won't mean nothing to you. And with joy, you'll give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not with a grudge. Not sitting thinking, am I doing the right thing? No, you'll know you're doing the right thing. Oh my. You'll know exactly what you're doing. Okay. Let's read another one. Found in Luke 14 chapter. And begin 16th verse. Listen to Jesus bringing this parable here. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. I've read this so many times over the years, but I don't care. I'm going to read it again. Amen. And sent his servant, he said, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, oh, invited, come, for all things are now ready. Now, will you realize it's not, and you'll sit there today. You're being invited. Yes, you are. You're being invited. Come, for all things are now ready. It's ready for you. If you'll just accept it. See? And they all with one consent. Now here's these ones that was invited to come for what God has. And they all with one consent begin to make excuse. Now just think of that. And think of that in this hour. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that created the heavens and the earth, the one that by Him all things consist, invites you. And you would have the nerve, the intestinal fortitude, you call it, to have an excuse after God giving you the opportunity. You may think, well, even today, as you sit here and listen to these words, you may think, oh, this is just by chance. It's not by chance. If you're ordained of God, your footsteps was preordered to sit here and listen to the Word and let it prick your heart. And they all with one consent begin to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I bought this nice piece of ground. I'm going to build a new house on it. I bought this new farm, and I bought this piece of ground for this, that, and the other. And I must needs go see it. So I ain't got time for you, Lord. I ain't got time to sit there and listen to your preachers. I ain't got time to listen to your sermons. And I ain't got time to listen to what you got to tell me about this. You just kind of forget this. I've got to put you on the back burner, and I've got what I want to do first. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Excuse me just a minute. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. Wow, think of that. Excuse me. Still had that little bit of phlegm in my throat from that. I had. Another said, I've bought a five yoke of oxen. Oh, that's I've bought a new truck. I bought a new car. I want to take it for a little road trip. I ain't got time to listen to that word. I ain't got time for you to bid me, Lord, and what you bid me to come to. Even though you got everything ready for me, I ain't got time. I'm going to check this new device out, or I'm going to check this new material thing out. I ain't got time for you. And oh, so many still today, you know, they think Sunday's just another day. But I'm going to tell you what, friends, in my heart, I want to honor the day of the resurrection, Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be out working and doing this, that, and the other. Now I want to honor this day, you see. That's why I'm here. And I love it, you know. It's not somebody forcing me to. I love to give my life to the Lord every day, but even on Sunday too, for His purpose, and show respect for the day He resurrected on. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Right. And this one always gets me. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He just flat puts it like it is. I got married, and I cannot come. I want to spend time with my wife. My wife wants me to go over here. My wife wants me to do this. You remember what Apostle Paul said? Oh. He said, let he that has a wife be as though he had none when it comes to serving God, friends. Yeah, that's what Paul said. In the book of Corinthians. Yeah. But just think of that. A woman be more important than I'm truly finding my salvation. Do you realize how many marriages there is in this world that's going on even right now? And vice versa, whichever way it goes, the wife will keep or talk the man out of giving his heart to the Lord. Or vice versa. The man will talk the wife out of giving her heart to the Lord. Because they don't want to do things like that. They'd rather run. They'd rather do this in life. They'd rather have this in life and have fun and entertainment and all these things. Way much more important than anything God has, is their thought. That's why they want excused. How many things are you going to put before God's face and want an excuse of why you can't do it? How do you think that's going to look on the day of judgment? Oh, it's going to look pretty bad, you know? Can you imagine material things getting in the way of serving God? That's really, really bad. Because the scripture itself tells us anything that you can see is temporal. It's the things that's unseen that's eternal. Yeah. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets, lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways, the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, listen to me, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Their flimsy excuses didn't mean nothing with God. Nothing. Though to them it seemed so important. Well, my, a brand new truck? That's very important. Wow, I'm just getting married? That's very important. Buying more ground? That's really important. Not in God's eyes, it ain't. No. To God, it means nothing. We're the puny human beings that makes these things look so big and important. But God's trying to show us it can't be important to Him or important to us. No, it can't be. Show us. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father, oh, now it's really getting deep now. Can't hate his father? The father stands in the way and tries to keep you from serving God. And the way out, friends, stay away. Give him up. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. Now, this is the words of our Lord Jesus. He cannot be my disciple. He didn't say, I might let him be my disciple. He said, he cannot be my disciple. So again, who's supposed to be first and most important in you, in your life? God is. The Word of God. Word, what's that got to do with God? The Word. Well, because 1 John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It was Jesus Christ. You see? All right? For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? Whether he has sufficient to finish it. I mean, seriously, how many of us would try to build a new house and not sit down first and find out how much it's going to cost? We're going to have to make sure we know what it costs, so we're going to know we got enough money to finish it. Okay? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh again with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he send an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh, here's what he was getting at. Are you listening? Whosoever he be of you, that's everyone sitting here and sitting out there listening, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Yeah. So again, look where the value is supposed to be placed at. On God. Your whole life centered on it. You can't live in the world and want it and God too. You can't have all this flesh and entertainment and worldliness and have God too. No. Your home can't even be more important than God. No. We'll say, well, how could my home be more important than God? Well, sit around working on your home all day long and maybe on Sunday and miss church and you're... Scripture says, forsake not this and yourselves together. Now we know at this time, particular time, we can't do that. But you'll still be sitting around gathered and listening to the Word. Amen. Yeah. Won't be no home, no job, no car, no nothing more important than Him. That's not me. That's scriptural, friends. Okay, now if I just give you my ideas and telling you this is what I say it has to be, then you don't pay no attention to me. But I'm just showing you and reminding you what the Word says. Okay? You say, well, it just seems to be an awful hard way to be. Friends, I'm concerned about your soul. Yeah. Sure, the flesh is going to be a little irritated about it. Your carnal senses, you see? We'll talk about here in a little bit. All right, so he says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Okay. All right, let's go on here. Let me read here now in Luke, the 9th chapter. It's up to you if you want to turn with me. Paragraph 57, verse 57. I'll try not to hold you too much longer. Hope you're not getting too tired sitting at home, too. But listen to it, please. Give me just a few more moments. This may be your last opportunity. I'm telling you, it may be your last opportunity. You may think, as I said earlier, you may think you're all healthy and this, that, and everything's going fine with me. Who's to say? You'll pull out of a street and maybe the fellow coming the other direction doesn't see you pulling out and he pays no attention at stop sign and he broadsides you. Yeah. How tough are you going to be then? And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Listen. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. So we can't never, on the day of judgment, turn around and look at Jesus and say, you didn't forsake everything. Oh, he done forsook everything. So we can't never point a finger at him. That what he requires of us, you can't say he didn't do it already. You see? And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first. Oh, listen now. I was talking about a little bit ago. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Now think of that. When you always got something to do first before you give to him, you might as well forget it. Because you ain't got what it's going to take down on the inside. Nope. But now, brother, this is bearing this man's father. He already told us what had to be more important. And that's why he's bringing these parables and showing us that he has to be first in your life. Has to be. And if he can't be, drop it. Forget it. You're lost. Simple as can be. Right? And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. Here it goes again. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. Oh, sound like good intentions, but it wasn't good enough for God. Yeah. When he bids you to come, you drop it now, immediately, and no fooling around. You ain't got till tomorrow. If your attitude's for tomorrow, walk away from him. You'll never be saved. No. It's now. Not tomorrow. Well, I got to think about this. You ain't got time to think about it. You listen to me, young people? You ain't got time to think about it. It's today or never. God don't play with what he says. The human race tries to make God seem that he plays with what he says. But he means exactly what he says, and he keeps his word every time. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man. That means nobody. No man. Having put his hand to the plow. All right, you said you're going to follow me? And now you've got something you want to do first? You put your hand to the plow? You told me he's going to do it? This is what you want to do, and now you want to do something else first? Putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So is these things I'm saying? No, it's things God's Word says. People just don't understand them. See? Mark 8th chapter. In the 31st verse. And he began to teach them, Jesus speaking again, or talking about the Lord Jesus, what he's going to do here, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He was telling them ahead of time about him being crucified and rising again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Because, see, Peter didn't like the idea of Jesus talking about him dying or going away and letting this happen to him because he loved Jesus. You know, he was trying to stick up for him and wanted this not to come upon him. But the Lord Jesus knew this had to happen for a reason. He had to go to the cross and die for us that we could stand before him and be covered by the blood. You see? But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He knew it was Satan using Peter's lips to say that. "Get behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me," listening, "whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself." Well, Brother Steve, you act like if I become a Christian or if I give my life to Christ, I can't do anything. Well, you got that right in a way. You won't be able to do anything other than what he lets you do. Yeah. That's a wonderful life. Because that kind of life, you know you have eternal life. Yeah. "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." In other words, death to yourself, senses, carnality. You let Christ live. As I mentioned also last Sunday, Apostle Paul had this understanding. Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I live, but yet it's not I. It is Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith," or revelation, "of the Son of God who gave himself for me." See? "Follow me," he says. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." If you want to save that life of not having time for God, not having time to read his word, not have time to study that word, not have time to pray. You'd rather work on your car. You'd rather be working on this. You'd rather be building this. You'd rather be making or buying that. You ain't got time for God. You'd rather do that. Oh my. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." So if you save, want to do all what you want to do, you're going to lose out on this eternal life. "But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man?" This is the turning point, what I want to go to, but I ain't got time. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Now think of that. "Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? Now, Lord willing, and those that have the desire and the appetite to listen on, you can get back on there at 7 o'clock and be with us. And we'll go on with it. If you don't have the desire for it and it means nothing to you, then you don't have to get on there and listen. But if you're interested in eternal life, I urge you to listen further on. Amen. Trusting God's word has touched the heart of somebody this day. Somebody. Very simple things, not very deep things, but yet they're great things. You see? So I trust that the Holy Spirit will deal with your hearts, each and every one of you. And again, saints, let me remind you, and use this out there listening, I am nothing, and I can do nothing myself. And I don't think of myself as being something great. Or that's another reason why we've got it to where just everybody can't listen to it. Because it's bad enough to have to do it this way to me. You know, because I don't want people to think I'm anything, because I am nothing. And I can't do much of anything. And there's a lot greater preachers out there than I am. There's a lot of preachers out there that's more exciting than I am. But I'm more, I like teaching part of it. I like getting into the Word and make sure people really know what's being said instead of getting excited about somebody jumping around emotion all over the place. No, I want them to know what's being said. So I trust the Lord will help you and encourage you and strengthen you. Amen. Let us all stand. I would like to sing a little chorus before we leave. As Sister Hamilton will come up and we'll sing a little song here. Very familiar little song. It's one of my favorites. But how truly I've seen God's grace in my life. You know, amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It's on page 2 if you don't know the verses. I will be singing these first 3 maybe. Amen. Praise His name. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believe. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Let's sing that first verse again. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Let us bow our heads for moment of prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, It's been good to be here today with you, Lord. You truly have kept your word. You promised where two or three are gathered in your name, in their midst you would be. And how we appreciate it so very much. We know, Lord, within ourselves we're not worthy. Lord, the only way any of us is worthy is by what you've done for us. And Lord, you went to that cross and hung there and died, gave your life for us. Father, we can stand before you in your righteousness, justified as though we never did it in the first place. How we appreciate you, Lord. And Lord, I'm truly trusting that somehow these few words today has gone into the heart of somebody. And Lord, if anybody desires a little bit more, may you deal with their heart, Lord, to, if it be your will, to be with us this evening and come back to the word, Lord, and go on. So we pray now thy will be done, and watch over us, keep us safe, and keep us in your word, Lord, above all things. And those that's not filled with your Holy Spirit, we ask, Lord, you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. A real baptismal fire come down in their hearts, their lives, and change them, Lord. That they'll know they're not what they used to be. That the Lord, there's something new happened. Something took place. Oh God. That's the desire of every minister, Lord. To see that happen in every one of his sheep. Bless them now, Lord. In your holy name we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. May God bless you.